Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to this weekly Torah study from New Beginnings Church in Bedford, Texas, taught by Pastor Scott Sigmund. We pray this message will help you better understand how God's Old Testament wisdom and New Testament revelation are meant to jointly fit together.
Thank you, thank you. We're in Torah study number 26 today. And it's out of Leviticus chapter 9 through chapter 11. And today's study I've entitled Living a Kosher Life in an Unkosher World. And that obviously tells you that there's a powerful study today into the laws of keeping kosher, the laws of kashrut. And the big takeaway from this teaching is that God not only has guidelines for what we consume physically, even more important, he has guidelines for what we consume spiritually. Amen? Because what we're consuming spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, will eventually consume us. So hopefully the Spirit of the Lord is consuming you. I got a big amen over here. Can I get another amen? Hopefully there's a flow of God's loving kindness consuming you, a flow of amazing grace, of the peace of God, his patience, come on somebody, all of these things, godliness, morality, righteousness, Bible-based things are consuming you and I, and that will help us, obviously it'll help us, to live a kosher life, a righteous life in an unrighteous, unkosher world. Amen. It's interesting to note that one of the root words for the Hebrew word kosher means fit or proper. In Jewish tradition, the word kosher's come to mean to do something the correct way, to live in ways that are above board, genuine, authentic. Amen. Legitimate. You have a legitimate, genuine, authentic life in the Lord, and it's lawful. Christians need to be lawful people, abide by standards and guidelines. It's not a vague thing. God's laid it out. And God is giving us through this definition a key clue to what living kosher, eating kosher, being kosher is all about, that it has much more to do with our spiritual side. How we're interacting with our family, at work, at church, with one another. How are we doing? Are we treating others the way we like to be treated? And so kosher really begins through this study. It begins to teach us to embrace looking at what our worldview is. It's not separate from church. Your church life is your worldview life. Amen? That's what biblical citizenship on Wednesday nights is all about. It's your philosophy on food and eating, on health and healing, so much of the physical side, but even more important, it has to do with how we're treating one another, living with one another in general. Now, what's so funny is the word kosher only appears in the Old Testament three times, and it never appears in connection with food. And I won't get into the verses there, but based on what we're talking about this morning, if you turn with me to Leviticus 11:44, we'll see in this week's study how God connects the concept, the guideline of eating kosher food with living a kosher life, a holy life. And it says in Leviticus 11:44, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, you can apply that both with food, which he does in Leviticus 11, and with people. There are some creeps that you need not be associated with. Amen. Verse 45, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So here you can see God is weaving living holy with eating or not eating creepy things. And there's a lot of creepy things you could eat. And all of this kind of ties into what we've learned with Pastor Larry through the years, that everything that God teaches has two sides, a heavenly and an earthly, a spiritual and a physical side. And so part of studying to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, the word of God, means that we need to look into what's the spiritual meaning of this, what's the physical application of this. And all of God's principles, Old and New Testament principles, have both sides at work. A lot of churches who've abandoned the Old Testament means that they've abandoned some of the principles and wisdom that God has laid out. He didn't give Israel all these laws to keep just so they could be legalistic, right? So God wants us to realize that while it's important to understand what goes into our physical system, it's even more important to consider what's going into our spiritual system. Because as the old saying goes, I don't know if you remember the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. That's the old you. That's the old me. Before Christ, it was garbage in, garbage out. Unkosher in, unkosher out. Kosher in, kosher out. Because all of that definitely affects your spiritual health, just like foods we eat affect our physical health. All right, so we won't have time in this limited study to read everything that God has to say. I do recommend, if you haven't read the Torah study, again, Leviticus 9 through 11, read Leviticus chapter 11. Like, go into the Living Bible. I was looking at that early this morning. There's many great paraphrases and translations. Read the Living Bible, for instance, Leviticus 11, and you'll read this wide range of detailed instructions and principles on what foods are permitted and what foods are forbidden. And so you could look at it very simply is God wants to teach Israel, and he wants to teach you and I what food is and what food isn't. Amen? And so I was going back through all my notes this week, and I found a funny joke about kosher, because when you start messing with people's meals, people get antsy. Hey, I like that BLT. In this case, there's a certain Jewish man who attended synagogue, was always dismayed by the fact that he could never eat pork. the idea of eating some bacon, a ham sandwich, having some pork chops smothered in gravy and mushrooms or whatever. It just had this certain appeal. A lot of times something that's forbidden does have a certain appeal, and that's where God is saying, exercise some discipline, child of God. So this man, he decides that he's going to go on vacation to a remote tropical resort and use that as a secret way to try out some pork chops and things. So he gets to the resort, and his first dinner at the finest restaurant was an extravagant meal that included pork. So he's sitting there by himself at his table waiting for the meal, and suddenly he hears his name from across the restaurant. And he looks up, and lo and behold, here's a group of his friends from the synagogue. And it was just his luck that they had chosen the same resort for his vacation, for their vacation. And it was at that very moment, here comes the waiter with his dinner on a huge silver platter, carrying a roasted pig with an apple in its mouth. And so now he's got a dilemma, so he looks sheepishly at all of his fellow congregants and say, wow, you order an apple in this place, and look at how they serve it. Amen. Kosher. Praise God. Now, basically, only animals with cloven hooves that chew cud is food for eating, kosher food. Pigs, for example, have cloven hooves but do not chew cud, so God says it's not food for eating. It's unkosher. Any animal that walks on paws is forbidden fruit or forbidden food. Any water creature that doesn't have fins and scales is forbidden, unkosher. Most birds and insects that fly or walk and crawl are forbidden as well. And look, in the Jewish community, not only is there Leviticus 11, but there's a host of other rabbinical instructions on how to keep kosher. And, you know, just like in the church, everybody in the synagogue, they have different levels of how much they abide by rabbinical instructions. I was reading a great teaching in an article from the late Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. I love reading his material. He wrote an article called The Light of Holiness. And here's what he has to say. He says, to be holy is to make distinctions, to recognize and honor the divine order of creation. Be ye holy as I am holy. And don't get into eating all this weird stuff. Why? Because as Rabbi Sacks says, being holy means you make distinctions. You use discernment. What's good, what's bad? What's good, bad, and ugly? What's Clint Eastwood and what's not? Human beings, Rabbi teaches, become holy when they become distinction-making animals, or people, let's just say people. When they recognize and act so as to honor the boundaries of nature. You and I might say that honor the boundaries that God has set up. God has many guidelines. There's not just one thing you have to do. There's many different guidelines and principles. Dietary laws, Rabbi says, with their divisions of permitted and forbidden, represents boundary making in life. Here's the boundaries I want you to set. There's certain things permitted. There's certain things forbidden. There's my grandson. We're trying to teach him that right now. And he doesn't like hearing it. He's three. Hopefully we're not 30 or 60 and still arguing with God about his boundaries. And so, yeah, our whole life is making distinctions. God made us with that ability to make distinctions. And we need to use discernment to recognize the differences between what's forbidden and what's permitted. Whether that's in food, eating kosher, but there's other things that are forbidden in the kingdom. Like, it's forbidden to be a cross-dresser. Do you have a problem with that? See, a lot of times we don't know how to process certain behaviors in our society today. And when you have loud activists who represent a certain group and they try to cancel you and intimidate you and threaten you and protest and charge into your church with signs and stand up in the middle of a service and try to take control of that service to express their point of view, you know, that's forbidden. That attitude, that behavior, and what it all represents is forbidden. And we shouldn't have a problem with that. And so that's a big part of a life of a believer, is recognizing, discerning, and then with the help of the Holy Spirit, learning how to transcend your animalistic side, your carnal side. We all have physical appetites that go beyond Krispy Kremes. We were coming home from Zakai's baseball game yesterday morning, and I had planned to stop at Krispy Kreme's. But I went a different way from South Arlington, and when I finally figured I probably need to turn here, I had missed Krispy Kreme's by a mile, and I was so mad because my physical taste was up for Krispy Kreme's. I don't need Krispy Kreme's. I saw the pictures of our Israel tour when Pastor and Truett and Katie and I were in Israel. We'll see a big and incredible video here in the main service. I kept looking at how I had fallen in love with Krispy Kremes and my gosh, Pastor Scott, do something with that Michelin tire around your midsection. Read Romans 8. Oh, he's got his school pictures. That's good, buddy. We'll look at them later. You're a very handsome young man. Read Romans 8 when it talks about physical and spiritual appetites. But basically what we're learning is God gives eating kosher as a way to help us understand how to live kosher, to make distinctions. And if you really think about it, kosher boundaries and our kosher roots go all the way back to the first commandment that God gave Adam and Eve. What did he say? Don't eat fruit from that tree. That is forbidden fruit. Don't eat it. There's a kosher guideline. And so what is he doing? He's asking Adam and Eve to exercise a certain level of discipline, right? And in this case, exercise a certain level of discipline over what you're eating. Amen? And so, yeah, was it a test? Yeah, it was a test to see if they would control their physical cravings and appetites. Could they live a kosher life? You look at Noah. And God tells Noah, Noah, I want you to make a distinction between what is kosher and what is unkosher. Look at Genesis 7:2. He tells Noah, you shall take with you seven each of every clean, kosher animal, male and female. And then take two each of the unkosher animals, male and female. There's only two genders, by the way, and there they are, male and female. And here's probably what is the most shocking about teaching on kosher. The main lesson is living kosher is even more important than eating kosher, but both apply. And we can go to Acts 15. You can turn over to Acts 15 and see it for yourself in the New Testament. In this scenario, there is a meeting of great minds in Jerusalem following the resurrection of the Lord, and Pastor James, the half-brother of Jesus, is leading this meeting, and there's a lot of different competing factions with different agendas, and they all want to say so in how the New Testament church is going to evolve. Imagine, fast forward to today, now we just don't have a couple. We've got like 5,000 denominations that all have different ways on interpreting and applying the Word of God. And one group will say, if you don't do it my way, you'll burn in hell for all of eternity. We're gnashing our teeth at the wrong things. Why are we fighting amongst ourselves, we who love the Lord and believe in Jesus? Let's try to find out what we have in common and live in unity and strive to be peacemakers in the house of God. And then people in the unkosher world will see our kosher attitudes amongst ourselves. And when they see our kosher attitudes amongst us, they'll know that we are Christians and that we've been with the Lord. That's kind of how it works. But here the great debate taking place was over the requirements that the Messianic congregation in Jerusalem were going to place on the Gentiles coming into the family of God. One group wanted everyone to be circumcised. Hey, we got circumcised. They have to be circumcised to be right with God. And so there are all these different debates. And finally, the leader, Pastor James, his real name is Yaakov. Pastor Yaakov, Pastor Jacob, says something in Acts 15:19 that escapes our New Testament attention. Go over there with me, Acts 15:19. Pastor James says, so in my judgment, we should not add any unnecessary burden upon the non-Jewish converts who are turning to God. We will go to them as apostles and teach them to be set free from offering sacrifices to idols. Idolatry. You'll be set free from that Gentile who is going to all these pagan temples. Then, number two, we'll teach them to be set free from sexual immorality. Amen. Amen. Now, here's where kosher comes in. Look at the next one. And we will teach them to be set free from eating anything strangled, unkosher, or with any blood. Some say with drinking blood. Now, anybody got a problem that you no longer have to drink blood? To be But notice the last two of the four, half of the guidelines in the New Testament have to do with something dietary. Did you catch that? The starting instructions for Gentiles coming to the faith in the Lord included keeping some type of kosher. So the New Testament church places dietary limits on certain food. Don't eat meat strangled and don't drink blood. Okay, the blood part is easy to give up. But why is this happening in the New Testament? Because you have this huge revival of Gentiles who grew up idolatrous, they're pagans, they're heathens, anything goes, kind of like our society today, anything goes. My neighbor has a sign that says, in our America, love will always win. But their kind of love, because I know their lifestyle, their kind of love really means in our world, any kind of sex will be accepted. It doesn't mean love like you and I understand, agape love, self-sacrificing love, love for the benefit of somebody else. In their world, it means whatever kind of sex I feel like having, let's have it. That's unkosher if you're a Christian, and they don't like that idea. So when we put our sign up, vote biblical values, they get mad. It's like the cartoons where the steam's coming out of the cartoon characters' ears. I've had them confront us. They've confronted me and Lydia, and we try not to be mean, but we're staunch. And look, we believe the Bible. We believe in God. We believe His Word is true from Genesis to Revelation. But back to Acts 15, the guidelines were put in place within the church to preserve fellowship. Because Paul knew, James knew, all the apostles knew that if Gentiles just came in eating ham sandwiches from Jersey Mike's, it was going to create a ruckus. And the last thing we need in this new covenant church is a ruckus. That was Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. That was one of his biggest things. How do I get everybody to come together? He needed Rodney King as his sidekick. Can't we just all get along? No, because when it comes to religious doctrine, man, people get so dogmatic. Now, in this example, Gentiles didn't have to become Orthodox Jews. But they did have to respect the Orthodox. And this is where we've fallen away. And hopefully what New Beginnings and Pastor Larry are doing, we're helping to repair the damage. We should be honoring and respecting that side of our religious heritage. Amen? Amen? Including basic kosher guidelines. Look, if you want to eat bottom feeders, you know, I can't stop you. But you shouldn't go out with people, especially observant people that don't. Well, I'm going to show you how much legalism you're in, and I'm going to order me surf and turf. Heavy on the surf. See, and then with that attitude, we lose an honoring. We lose thinking about others more than we think about ourselves. We lose the idea of being peacemakers, being conciliatory and gracious, and we just get into what I want. Me, me, me. It's what me wants. And all of this applies today. You know, I find it fascinating that many diseases, including the original reason given for the COVID pandemic, was because of non-kosher animals. Think of that. I was reading an article about research into all the different pandemics and how they were caused. And biblically unclean animals have been responsible for a big part of pandemics through the generations. Pigs are responsible for the Spanish flu, the Asian flu and more the swine flu. Bats and certain other unkosher birds are linked to SARS and MERS and COVID. Remember, they were telling us COVID originally were from bats out of a cave, you know, hundreds of miles from Wuhan, and then they changed it to the pangolins, unkosher pangolins, in the market spread COVID. And now even the FBI has reasoned, and other government agencies, yeah, it was probably man-made in a laboratory in Wuhan. It's amazing how we can't get the word out on that. What are you hiding? The truth. Can you handle the truth? Chimpanzees responsible in part for HIV and AIDS. Rats. Yeah, Black Death, camels, MERS, dogs, Hong Kong flu, Asian flu, cats, the mongoose-like creatures, they were responsible for SARS. And it's no coincidence, all of these animals are listed in God's list of forbidden foods. People, this is not food. And yet, people, you go to some of these markets. I've never been there, you can go. Pastors told me about his trips to the Philippines, and they go in and they get balut. And you bury an egg in the sand and let it just roast in the sand, and then you crack that egg after a period of time and just... I'm opening a restaurant next week, and that's the main thing on the menu. I bet you people will be lined up around the block. But we're being shown certain foods have a connection to sickness and disease. That shouldn't be hard to figure out. I mean, nowadays, we won't get into it, but a lot of processed meats and processed foods are not healthy for you. Sugar and sugary foods in excess, not good for you. Diet foods, especially like diet sodas and things like that with synthetic and artificial ingredients, not so good for you. Especially if you want to live in divine health. Now, God may be giving you divine health, and you drink, you go to 7-Eleven, and you get a giant Dr. Pepper to start your day. And you're walking into hallelujah. Thank you for the grace of God. But if you're struggling with sickness and disease and you can't get the victory, yes, pray. Yes, release a spiritual side through your prayers, but you might want to check your menu. Amen. Amen. Am I opening a door because of my menu? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Are we okay? No one's scared? Am I giving you a spirit of fear? Now let's pivot to living a holy life. This is the other aspect, the greater aspect of kosher. Go with me to Matthew 15:11. And let's look at how Jesus explains kosher. In Matthew 15:11. This is from the Passion Translation. What truly contaminates a person is not what he puts in his mouth, but what comes out of his mouth. Holy shnikes. Jesus is reprioritizing the kosher system with that statement. It's not what you put in, it's what's coming out. That's what makes people defiled. Verse 18. what comes out of your mouth reveals the core of your heart. Words pollute, not food. And you'll find living within an impure heart evil ideas, murderous thoughts, idolatry, sexual immorality, theft, lies, slander. That's what pollutes a person. All right, there you have it. So part of our Christian journey is learning how to live a kosher life, a righteous life, a proper life in an unkosher world. Why are they trying to teach my 3-year-old grandson that he might be a girl? Who gives them the authority or right to decide that he might be a girl and then keep it, you know, then try to indoctrinate him and not tell grandpa? Don't tell grandpa. That's unkosher. That's unrighteous. That's lawless. That's sinful. That's wicked. That's evil. And it's our job to help people see what's kosher and what ain't. What's good and what's bad and what's ugly. Right? So, Jesus is teaching that becoming a holy person is even more important than a holy diet. He's not canceling out kosher. After this, he didn't all go up to Mort's Deli and order ham sandwiches. He was an Orthodox rabbi, and he kept kosher. He kept the holidays and all these other things that Orthodox do. Why? Because he's an Orthodox rabbi. He just reprioritizes some of the religious system. So keeping moral and ethical kosher, for instance, like in our marriage, in our family relationships, that's got to be top priority. You know, and look, before we were saved, we were unkosher people, and many of us learned some pretty bad unkosher ways, and when we got into arguments, we were in it to win it. I will destroy you with my argument. And that's in the family. That's with a sister, a mom, a dad, a brother, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin. I had that chance yesterday with my sister. It's her birthday today, so I called her and wished her happy birthday, and we talked about a lot of things, and then I told her we went to Israel. And she seemed to be more pro-Palestinian, sympathetic to, you know, everybody in Michigan grew up Democrat. Right, we are auto workers, right? Factory workers, AFL-CIO folk, right? Union folk, and everybody voted Democrat. And now, all these years later, people that haven't seen the light that you and I see, they just vote, you know, and think whatever, you know. You might be watching Fox or Newsmax, and they're watching MSNBC and CNN, and you're getting two completely different stories. And I said, well, Debbie, I was there in person. I was this close to Gaza. I talked to the people whose family were murdered. I have, you know, more than, you know, some people, I have a little bit of insight as to what's going on. When I see it with my own eyes right there on the ground, talking and interviewing people. You'll see this in and, you know, I could see that this was not going to, happy birthday was going to end poorly. So I tapped the brakes and said, look, let's just leave it at the happy birthday. I love you. Have a wonderful weekend. I hope your hubby takes you to the very best restaurant in town and you just enjoy things. God love you. God bless you. That's kind of how I ended that thing. But family, marriage relationships, wives, husbands, stop eating your spouse alive with your words. Keep your language kosher. In your business dealings, we got to keep that kosher. It's not like, the poor cashier at Lowe's gave me back too much money. God is blessing me. No, he's not. He's testing you to see if you'll be honest. Amen. I'll get back to after we're done. We've got the CD and the Zoom, so we'll get back to you on your question after. What we watch on TV and social media, how we prioritize our spending. Man, it's a long list of things that are important to ask, is this kosher with God or not? And look, thank God for amazing grace, because no one's walking on water, especially at my house. Jeremy's redoing my pool and there's no water in it. So there's no walking on water. But thank God for unlimited forgiveness. We all blow it. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do stupid things. But hopefully common sense will become more common. And thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. He gives us the power to live a kosher life. Amen. And look, if you're struggling in some aspect, like let's say with marriage, if you or someone you know is struggling, if you see, man, they've lost the feeling of love and affection and romance, and they've replaced it with just being frustrated, irritated, and annoyed, that's an unkosher place. And it's important that if you can't solve it, can two of us come together and be, if two can't come together and be agreed, that's the time to ask for some help. That's not time to bury our heads in the sand. That's the time to say, Pastor, professional Christian counselor, how about you help us sort this out? Yes, sir. Amen? And same is true, like let's say you're a spendaholic. You're addicted to credit card debt. You've maxed out every credit card on anything and everything you can buy at Amazon and beyond. If you owe more in personal debt than you have saved for your retirement or for a rainy day, like if you got, you know, I got $30,000. Have you ever seen those commercials for the debt agencies? If you have $50,000 in credit card debt, we can help. Well, maybe you ought to find out somebody who can help, because you shouldn't have $50,000 in credit card debt unless you got $150,000 in your bank and assets that you can cash in. You should have more than you owe is the goal. Now, maybe you're not there, but you can get there. Follow Dave Ramsey for a few months or somebody else. Look, God's not going to continue to bless you if you're always blowing your money and can never afford to give a dime to the Lord. Right? Oh, I got my income tax back. I'm going and blowing this money on a night on the town. And then on Sunday morning, someone comes to church and realizes, I spent all my money at the restaurant living large, and I got $5 to give to God, but I had $350 to give to the restaurant. This is a test. Is anybody out there? You just need to get some financial input. Here's how you get things straightened out, young man, young woman. And that's the big challenge in the church today, helping people transform from an unkosher lifestyle to a kosher lifestyle. Most of the time, we're not thinking about transforming ourselves. We're thinking about hiding our deficiencies. I'm going to hide my thoughts, faults, instead of, Lord, I need a prayer partner who can help me break this spirit, break this curse in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Satan, I bind you. I bind every family curse of poverty, sickness, divorce, illegitimacy, addiction, and anger. And you can go right down the list. And after a period of time, if the prayer isn't producing the transformation, you need to say, time out. 20-second timeout. Pastor, I need to see you. I got to work something out here. Or you go to a qualified professional. Like, you guys ever see Jimmy Evans on TV? The marriage counselor, prophetic teacher. He's right here in, I think he goes to Ed Young's church now. He's got a powerful counseling center up in Southlake. But there's even right down the street, there's a Christian counseling. And there's other ways to do that. We can help you. But the idea is not hide it. Get rid of it. Yes. Amen. And that's the whole thing with the pig. The pig on the outside seems to be kosher because he has cloven hooves. But he doesn't chew his cud. So on the inside, he's unkosher. And so it is in church. It's not how you pretend or how I pretend, how we act on the outside, although fake it till you make it. But at least you're trying to get rid of all the unclean, unkosher things and head towards a kosher life inside and out. And that's what God wants. Amen. He wants the real you on the inside to be transformed. Praise God. And sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes it's a fight of faith. It may take more than a week, a month. It could take a year to get out of some of the mess you got yourself into, right? But let me close with this, Romans 12:2. This was the keystone scripture of our first church in Seattle. Romans 12:2, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Father, we release the power of the Holy Spirit today to transform our lives, to renew us from the inside out. Devil, we bind you. Bad habits, unclean, unkosher habits, we rebuke you and cast you out of our lives. And we thank you, Lord, you're rich in mercy and grace, and you help us live our best life now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, thank you, Zoom family, for joining us. Appreciate you guys for coming in.